Good morning. I believe it's about time for us to get started, if we could make our way in. Good to see all of you. Happy New Year. I hope you've had a wonderful holiday season, and of course this is the time of year to where we think of ourselves as embarking on a new journey as we embrace the year that's coming before us. I have to remember John chapter 15 as the disciples were about to embrace a period of time in which Jesus would no longer be with them on the earth, but he left them wonderful instructions, and they're so similar to instructions that we need today. And so I'd like to share those with you, and let's embrace what Jesus has to say as we embark on this new year. I will be reading from John chapter 15. Verses 4 and 5, and then verses 9 and 10. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Let's worship.
Number 66. We're using a book, number 66. Number 23, if you would, let's stand as we sing this one. Number 23, sing the first, the second, and the fourth verse, and then we'll have our opening prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you, raise up our prayers, and give thanks for the blessings you've given us. Heavenly Father, as we start a new year, as we mark time here on earth, realize there's no better place we can start than in your house, worshiping you. Pray, Heavenly Father, for the world, that we live in a place where we're blessed with so many things. We pray for places like Ukraine, where the war is going on. We pray for the people of Russia also, even though it seems to be their leadership that started this war, we know there's many of them that suffer also. We're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for what you've given us here, for the blessings you've blessed us with. We have our own issues here, and we pray that you'll be a blessing to us and guide us. You'll guide our leadership as we deal with things like a border crisis that seems to be looming, that we'll realize that we need a humanitarian answer to this and turn to you to see what you would do. Pray, Heavenly Father, for this congregation that will only grow and become strengthened. The eldership you've given us, we're so thankful for. The leadership, pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll always be able to turn to you to seek your guidance to grow as a congregation. Because the congregation truly is an anchor in these times of storm where we can come and be built up and strengthened. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll increase our faith. We give you thanks, and we want to thank you for bringing Brother Tim and Joyce back as their travels. You brought them home safely. Pray, Heavenly Father, as we go through this lesson, that you'll give him a ready recollection of what he prepared. We'll accept it. Love for the truth. In your Son, Jesus' name, amen.
If you're using a hymnola, you can turn and place your marker at number 927. 927 will be our song of encouragement this morning. Once you have that marked, let's turn to number 450. This will be our song before the lesson. Give me the Bible. 450.
Give me the Bible, Sire, let me see thee. To chill the water, let it fall. No storm can hide that radiant, peaceful breathing. Since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy, blessed, shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow.
Right now would be a time, if you want to take your children to the children's training class we have. It's not today. I'm sorry. It's not today. Okay. All right. Today's scripture comes from Matthew chapter 22:11-14. That's Matthew 22:11-14, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen."
Happy New Year. But even better, Happy New Life. And in Christ, we have that new life. And that's good, because sometimes we mess up what the Lord has given us. And yet he gives us opportunities every day to turn back, to be forgiven, and to have a new life. And boy, we are so thankful for that. We're glad you're with us today. We have a lot of visitors with us today. We have many of our regular family here. And we're glad to see each and every one of you here with us. We also have many with us online. We always do. And we're glad that you have chosen to join us. And if you're available in our area, we'd love for you to come and be with us in person. But until that day comes, if it comes, we are glad you're worshiping with us online. I've been asked to send a thank you from Ron Edlin to all of you who have been so kind as to send him a card. He is my wife's brother. He lives in Cincinnati, and he has begun undergoing some radiation treatments. I only got a couple left, but he said those really have meant a lot to him. He has been a preacher of the gospel in the past. He continues to worship with a group at an assisted living facility, and he's always been active in the Lord's work. And so I'm passing on to you his appreciation. And just know that cards mean a lot. And if you've been in that situation where you are ill or having difficulty, and somebody takes time to send you a card and just say, "I'm thinking about you, I'm praying for you," that means a lot. And so there is his greetings, his thanks, and I told him I'd be glad to do that. Also want to share with you the idea, the news, that tomorrow is a very special day for one of our members. He's not in Johnson City now, he's living in Clarksville, but Fred Selby is going to celebrate a birthday tomorrow, and it will be number 92. And Fred always worships with us. And so if you'd like to say happy birthday, raise your hand and wave at him right now. He can't see that, but I'm going to tell Fred almost every hand in here is going up. And so we're happy for you, Fred, and we love you. And we know it's hard without June, but we are so glad Fred has been in our lives and still is. But we're glad you're with us today. We hope you'll come back and join us again this evening at 6 o'clock. Is it you, Tim, tonight, or Josh? Josh is preaching tonight. All right. I knew one of them was, but I know they'll have a great lesson. So come out and join us at 6 o'clock, and we'll worship God again. Now get your Bible out. Let's get into the Word of God. I really hope you'll join me in turning to these passages, and let's read them together. I mean, I'll read them out loud, but I'll try to give you time to get there before I begin reading. And then that way we're all on the same page, literally, and we know we're learning from God's word. So let's get into that word in just a moment. Not very long ago, in fact, only a couple of weeks ago, I think, I did what I've done several times since the pandemic, and that is I placed an order with Walmart to pick up. And I suspect many of you have done the same thing. You put in your order online, and then you have a time, you go and pick it up. They'll bring it out to your car, and what could be easier? Well, I went on this occasion to pick up my order, and I've been sitting there for several minutes, and I noticed some cars that came in after me were getting their orders brought out. Mine had not yet come. And so the temperature's rising a bit in my mind. And I finally stopped one of the workers, and I said, "What's going on here? I've been here several minutes." They said, "Could I see your email that told you that your order was ready?" And so I had it available, and I was at the wrong Walmart. At least it wasn't Target. But that was unnecessary annoyance for me if I'd only paid attention to the details. That's the idea. Well, in the reading that Roger read for us a few minutes ago, there was a fellow that went to a wedding feast, a very festive occasion, a very honored event, and there he was, and yet he was bound and cast out. He didn't get to stay, did not get to enjoy it. Why not? Well, Jesus said, "You're not dressed properly. Why did you come in without wedding attire?" And although Jesus doesn't say it, the implication is you could have known. Because look at everybody else. They are dressed as they should have been, but you're not. And so that's kind of like my situation, only worse, I suppose. And that is, he didn't get to stay because he had not paid attention to what had been said about staying at the wedding, coming to the wedding and enjoying the feast with the others. Well, in the year 2023, we are going to look at the idea of back to the Bible, because I believe that's so important. I know it's important. This is the Word of God. Just like if I had paid attention to my email, I would have gone to the right place. And if that man had paid attention to the directions, he could have stayed at that wedding feast and enjoyed it. The stakes are much higher for us because we're going to the wedding celebration of the bride. We are the bride. Christ is the groom. And if we're really serious about making that event, and I hope we are, then we need to get back to the Bible. We need to find out what has God really said, because good intentions aren't enough. A strong desire to be there is not enough. We have to listen to what the Lord has said. And so today, let's begin by looking at that idea, and we're going to begin in the book of Isaiah. So open your Bible to the book of Isaiah, and let's look at chapter 7 first of all, and we're going to see the principle stated very clearly. Isaiah chapter 7, we're going to look at verse 16 in just a moment. But here's the problem. The problem was that Judah was now being confronted by their northern neighbors Israel in league with Syria. They had combined together. They said, "You're going to help us fight Assyria." And Judah said, "No, we're not. Then we're going to conquer you, and we're going to put a king up in somebody that will work with us." Well, it was a troubling thing. They were surrounded by the enemy, even though they were relatives in the case of the northern kingdom of Israel. And here they are on the verge of being invaded by these troops. And everybody is upset. Everybody's concerned. What do we do? Well, God sends the prophet Isaiah with good news. Here's the good news in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 16. "For before the boy," and the boy here is one that would be born to a young woman, to a virgin. This is the prophecy that is ultimately fulfilled by Christ, according to Matthew chapter 2. But here it says, "Before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted." Their land will be deserted, meaning they're gone. These people that you are so afraid of, you don't have to be afraid of them. I will take care of them. That's what God is saying. And yet, Ahaz, the king to whom Isaiah was speaking, doesn't want to hear it. He would rather put his trust in another nation, another army, rather than in the word of God. And that is a major problem going on in the land of Judah. So the question now becomes, to whom shall we go for guidance? I mean, we need guidance when it comes to dealing with this imminent invasion, to whom do we go? And that's the question. Now look at Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, we're going to read verses 12 through 16, and we're going to find out more about the problem of not listening to God. He says, "Do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear, let him be your dread, and he will become a sanctuary, and a stone of offense, and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken." And then he says this in verse 16, "Bind up the testimony, seal the teaching among my disciples." So God is saying, you're afraid of the wrong things. You are fearful of human armies. You ought to be fearful of me, because if you fear me and honor me, I will become a sanctuary to you. And that's the idea of refuge. But if not, then I become a rock of stumbling, a rock of offense. In fact, Matthew chapter 21, verse 44 tells us that Jesus applied this prophecy to himself. Matthew 21, 44, Jesus said, "The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. When it falls on anyone, it will crush him." And thus the idea again, to whom do you turn? To whom do you turn for guidance? Are you listening to the world? That's wrong. Listen to God, because God can become your sanctuary, your refuge. Now back to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. Now look at verses 19 and 20. And here's where we come to the crux of the idea. Isaiah 8, 19 and 20. "When they say to you," and they meaning people around you, "when they say to you, inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter." Now the mediums are the people that hold seances. Necromancers are people that communicate with the dead, or claim they do. And that's how many people get their guidance in one way or another. And so they're being told, that's who you go to. And they'll make strange sounds. They chirp, they mutter, they make you think, well, they really are talking with the dead. But then he says, "Should not a people inquire of their God? Should they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living?" Now, here's our action, verse 20. "To the teaching and to the testimony. If they will not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn." So God is saying there, in effect, if you listen to the mediums, the necromancers, the fortune tellers, it's darkness. They don't have any light at all. But if you listen to me, I will show you the way to go. To the teaching, to the testimony. In other words, come back to my word. My word will not fail you. My word is always accurate and timely. Why would you go to anyone else? George R. Beasley Murray, in his comments on this passage, says, "The general tenor of the paragraph is that Israel was refusing the light and thereby losing God's teaching and blessing." So if we're not listening to God, we're not going to be blessed. If we're listening to the world instead of God, what can we expect? Now, people might say, well, wait a minute, that really is not very relevant to me, Tim. I mean, you're talking about fortune tellers and mediums and all this occult. I'm not into that. And some may be, but a lot of us aren't. But are we guided by anybody else in the world? Is it possible that social media sometimes, or as media in general has been termed, the high priests of American society, they're telling us what is right and what is wrong? Forget the Bible. Here's what you need to really think. Here's how you ought to behave, how you ought to dress, how you ought to speak. Listen to us. And no, we're not involved with mediums and fortune tellers, but we're making the same mistake. And God is saying, back to the Bible. back to my word. I have given you what you need. Why listen to them? The Expositor's Bible Commentary makes this comment: a deep reverence for God banishes fear of other human beings. Let me read that again. A deep reverence for God banishes fear of other human beings. And then they go on to say, the word for sanctuary comes from the same root as you are to regard as holy. God will himself be a holy place in the midst of his people. So what we're saying is, let's welcome God into our lives. Not just give lip service like the people of Judah were doing, but actually go back to the teaching, to the testimony, go back to God's word. Because then God will be a refuge for us. The continuing call for us is back to God's word. That's what we're going to be focused on this year, the first Sunday morning of every month. Back to God's word. After all, Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, verse 29, you may remember that he was encountered by several people in that chapter trying to trip him up and pose dilemmas that he could not answer. And here were the Sadducees. And they said, what do you do in a situation like this? And Jesus' response is a timeless principle. Listen to what he says there. He says, you are wrong because you know neither the scripture nor the power of God. You're wrong because you know neither the scripture nor the power of God. Could that happen to us? I mean, the world around us may be saying, hey, Tim, you've got it just right. You're doing things the way we tell you to do them. You're exactly right. And yet the Lord would look at us and say, you don't know the scriptures, do you? You are wrong for not listening to God's word. And why should we listen to God's word, the Bible? Because God's word is the book among all books. Let me just share with you the three or four passages on this point. For example, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verses 20 and 21. Now, if you're thinking the Bible is just an old book, listen to this. Listen to what Peter says about the origin of this book. He says, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And the idea is that the Bible did not come because somebody said, you know what, I think I'm going to write a book. And I'm going to tell people how to live and what is right, what is wrong. I'm not going to do that. I'm writing what I'm being told to write. I'm writing as the Holy Spirit is moving me along. And Peter says, this is no ordinary book. This is from God. God has given us this book. And why did God give it to us? We'll go back earlier in that same chapter. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verses 3 and 4. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4, and Peter tells us why we have the Bible. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us everything that we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. I challenge you to look at those two verses again later today, because there's so much in those verses about why we need the Bible. Are you looking for life? Are you looking for godliness? Do you want to be a partaker of the divine nature? Then right here it is. God has given us everything that we need, Peter says. It's right here in this book. And it's more than just saying, well, you know, I'd like to be a Christian, and I'll go to church on Sunday morning, and I may do this or that. No, we're talking about really saturating our lives with God's will, knowing God's will for our lives. And it goes back to what the psalmist said in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verses 104 and 105. Listen to what he sees in Scripture. Psalm 119, verse 104. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Now, how are you going to understand the issues of life? Who do you listen to? There's so many voices in this world competing with each other. But God's word is united. God's word is solid. And through that word, we get understanding. Then on to verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Obviously, we want light when we travel. Our cars have headlights on them so that if we happen to be out after dark, we can still see the way. God provides us with those headlights to guide our lives. And so again, you see, that's why we have the Bible. God has given us so much in this book. Are we really paying attention? Are we treating it with the seriousness that it needs to be treated with? Or do we simply give it lip service? And Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19. This is part of what we call the Great Commission. What was Jesus looking for? Go out and ask people to say, I am a Christian. That's not what he said. Here's what he says in Matthew 28, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What is a disciple? One who is devoted to learning. One who says, I really want to master this subject. I want to get all my mind around it. I want to live it. That's a disciple. Now, there's many students among us, especially those who have reached middle school and above, and you probably have a good many books that you've been given or assigned, and now you've got them, and that's all that it takes, having them, right? No, you've got to study them. You've got to read them and understand the concepts and make them a part of your mind if you're going to pass that course. And the same is true with us in this book of all books. It's not enough to have one under our arm or on our phone. That's not enough. We've actually got to open it and read it and meditate on it and then live it. That's a disciple. Is it possible that we could be thrown out of the banquet? Now, I'm going back to that opening passage in Matthew chapter 22, where Jesus gave the parable of the man who came to the wedding feast and he was not dressed properly, and therefore the master of the banquet came and said, what are you doing here? How did you get in without the right clothing? They didn't let him stay. He was thrown out. Could that happen to us? Well, I think it can. Because in the New Testament, we're shown the kind of attire we're to wear. I'm not talking about physical clothing, although sometimes that does come into play. But I'm talking about spiritual clothing. Turn to Colossians 3. Not going to spend a lot of time with this, but I want you to see, this is how a Christian dresses. This is how a disciple attires themselves. Listen to what he says in Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading in verse 10. Colossians 3 and verse 10. And reading through Colossians 3 verses 5 through 10. And then we'll jump down to 12 through 14. Put to death therefore what is earthly in you. And then he names some things. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. And then he mentions other things like anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Did you notice there the symbolism? Put off that lifestyle, take off those clothes and put on something different. And then look again at verses 12 through 14. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Now, we just kind of flew through that passage. We shouldn't, because this is vital knowledge. And if we want to stay in that wedding banquet of the Lamb, if we want to enter into the kingdom and enjoy all the blessings of that kingdom, we've got to be properly attired. And if I'm not a disciple, if I'm not a learner from this book, if I don't go back to the Bible, I'm going to enter into judgment and think I'm okay, but I won't be. Remember, it was Jesus that said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, you know this passage. We reference it often. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You've got to do the will of your Father. Again, it's not enough to say, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. That's important. But you've got to live it and go back to his word and make that your mind. Learn what the Lord wants from us. I'm going to close with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And I'm going to read it from a very different, it's not really even a translation, it's more of a paraphrase. It's the Message, and some of you are familiar with it. But I like the way it constructs this. It phrases it in a way that may make it come alive. We've heard it many times. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. You know how that goes. Listen now as the Message has paraphrased it. Every part of scripture is God-breathed. Get that. God has breathed it out. It's got God in it. Every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way, training us to live God's way. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. And I like that. I think it shows me in a fresh perspective. There's a reason for this book. It's not just to say, I read through the Bible this year. Give me a gold star. Well, that's good. And I know that there are a lot of people that read through the Bible every year, and they do it for the right reason. But just reading it isn't enough. We're reading it because there's so much there. We need to know. We need to be. And so, as we stand on the threshold of 2023, we have the opportunity today to make a life-changing resolution. And I know we don't like to hear that word resolution anymore. One resolution I made a long time ago is I'm not going to make any resolutions. I've stuck to that. But this would be life-changing. In this year, I'm going to take God seriously. I'm going to take God seriously. I'm going to open up his book on a regular basis, daily, if at all possible. And I know it is possible if that's my desire. I'm going to open it up every day. I'm going to read it every day. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to know God's will for my life better than I've ever known it before. Do you need guidance? Do you need direction in your life? God's the one to turn to. He's never mistaken. He made us. He loved us. He gave his son to die for us. You know you can trust him. And so this morning, if you need to turn to him and become a follower of Jesus Christ, become a disciple of Jesus Christ, we urge you to do what the Bible teaches. Hear what the word says. Decide, do I believe that Jesus really is the Son of God? And if you do, you're ready to move on to the next step, and that is deciding, I'm going to turn away from sin. I'm going to repent of all my sin, not do those things anymore. I will confess him before others, and I will be baptized into Christ, because that's what the Savior's to do, to be saved. Mark 16:16. And if you do that, be faithful. Every day, every hour, every moment, be faithful. And if the world pulls you back into its path, come out. Come out right now if that's where you're at. And repent of those sins and pray for forgiveness. We'll pray with you. We'll encourage you any way we can. Whatever we can do to help. We urge you to make that decision as we stand together and sing. I'm impressed with how often Seth speaks for me and probably a lot of us. This morning he says, I worry over things that I don't need to worry about. And when I do that, it gets me all upset. It gets me depressed. It gets me thinking there's something wrong with me. He says, I want to be free from that. Anybody here identify with that? Yeah, I do. And turning to God is the right place to turn. I can't help but think of Philippians 4:6-7, where he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Turning to God is always the right answer for whatever we're going through, and it applies to worry. So we're going to pray for Seth that he might be freed from worry, but we're also going to be praying for ourselves. Let's bow together. Our God and our Father, we praise you, Lord. You are almighty. You are eternal. You are changeless. And what you have been in the past is who you are now, because you are changeless, Father. Time doesn't affect you. And Father, we're grateful for that. We're grateful for Jesus, our Savior, who gave his life for us and for all the blessings that are found in Christ. Father, we pray that we might be freed from the anxieties, the worries, the fears that often come upon us. That we will remember your promises that you have given through your word to always be with us. And Father, bless Seth as he seeks to be freed from worry. And bless each of us that we might follow his example and make that an ambition of ours as well. Lord, you are faithful. You are true. May we live our lives grounded in that truth. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
To prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper this morning, we'll sing number 350. If you're using a hymnal, number 350, When My Love to Christ Grows Weak.
Continuing with Tim's theme this morning, we have two cups. The bread is in the top of the purple cup. The bread is in the bottom of the white cup. So it's location, location, location. So with that, we'll begin our communion. If you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll begin in verse 23. For I've received from the Lord what I also deliver to you. that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Would you bow with me as we take of the bread? Father, we thank you for your gift of Christ and his death on the cross. Now as we partake of the bread, Father, let us think about the broken body that hung on that cross. May we take of it in a manner well-pleasing to thee. In Christ's name, amen. Would you bow with me as we partake of the cup? Father, we thank you for your Son and the blood that was shed on that cross. Father, let us center our mind and thoughts on that blood that gives us an opportunity for forgiveness of sins. Father, we're so grateful for his sacrifice. Now as we partake of this fruit of the vine, be with us and bless us. In Christ's name, amen. We also find this a convenient time to give back as we've been prospered. We know we are a blessed people. Would you bow with me as we give thanks? Father, we know that everything we have comes from you. We know we are a very rich and blessed people, Father. Now as we give back of the gifts you've given us, Father, may we do so in a manner well-pleasing to thee. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's pray once again, please. Our Holy Father, it's been good for us to be here, and it's been good for us to be reminded of how important you are and how essential it is to us and our lives and our contentment and our direction to be in you and to be devoted to you and to be faithful to you and to love you more and more every day. Father, please be with us and strengthen us in our resolve to love you more than we ever have before. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have just a few announcements this morning before we're dismissed. Please pick up your communion cups and throw them away as you leave the auditorium. There will be a baby shower for Anna Eller next Sunday, January 8th. From 2:30 to 4:30 p.m. at the side porch. See the bulletin for more details. Wesley Bowman Fuquay was born on Thursday morning, the firstborn son of Rebecca and Cody Fuquay, and grandson to Lisa and Dan Bowman. All apparently went well, and both son and mother hope to be home very soon. The services honoring Marie Dye will be here at the church building next Sunday, January 8th. Visitation will be from 2 to 3 p.m. with a celebration of life following at 3 p.m. Ava R. was admitted to the Bristol Regional Medical Center on Thursday with severe sciatic pain. She reported on Saturday that she is doing some better. Sympathy is extended to Faye Bailey and her family on the passing of her brother Elmer Bennett on Saturday in Ohio. Funeral arrangements have not yet been made. Carlene B. fell at her home a few days ago and cracked some ribs. John says that she has been in significant pain and would appreciate our prayers. Betty J., mother of Jacqueline E., is scheduled to undergo surgery on Wednesday to repair a hip replacement that has failed. A family member of one of our families is going through challenging emotional and mental issues that are causing problems. It's best for us to not reveal details or their identity, but God will know the one for whom you will be praying. Onaway Mulligan, mother of Pat Jones, slipped on ice on her driveway on Monday, going to check her mail. The fall resulted in a broken arm, but thankfully no surgery will be necessary. The mother of Amy N., friend N's friend, has learned that she has lung cancer. Our prayers for God's help have been requested. This morning I leave you with 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's have a great year in the Lord. You're dismissed.